It's one thing to reverence God when you see him. It's another thing to honor God when you don't even know that he's there. Honor says that even when you're not around, I'm still gonna do what I'm supposed to do. I don't need you to stand over my shoulder and tell me how to behave. I don't need you. It's in me, and I do it because I love you. When you allow yourself to operate in love, love covers what? A multitude of sins. So the question is, Pastor, why do we not honor God? It's not because we don't believe in him. It's not because we don't reverence him. It's simply because, maybe not at Revive, but a lot of places, we don't love him. What's up, Revive Nation? That's what I'm talking about. I am so grateful and so humble, as my granddaddy would say, humble, to be here before you guys on today. You guys have two of the best pastors that I have ever gotten to know. Can we celebrate your pastors? Y'all just clap for me better than that. These are the people who actually pray for you, that go and seek the Lord for you. I'm grateful for this opportunity to be here. Listen, I get to stand on something I built for a change. Well, bless the name of the Lord. God is doing a mighty work here, and I'm excited to be here. Listen, I'm going to tell y'all right now, I'm going to put this out here, blame your pastor, because I came with my new age pastor behavior at Believer City. They have no choice. That's home. I behave like I want to behave. You getting 50 minutes, no less. You at least getting 50 minutes. I came with a mind to give y'all 30 and go. That's my job. I'm going to give you 30 and go. He was like, you bet not cut us short. And so I will not look up at the clock one time. I'm just going to preach the gospel the way the Lord has given it to me. Amen? Amen. I'm so grateful for that. Listen, I'm also grateful for two of the best young adults that I could possibly have that is part of our fellowship in Red Oak, Texas, Believer City Church, which is Michaela and Cambria. I'm so grateful for them being here. They are actually the first two that actually pioneered the Unleash movement that we have at Believer City Church. You know, once you hit a certain age, that age is usually over 40, you give up on social media and things of that nature. You got too many bills that's knocking at your door, so you don't worry about that. But Michaela has gotten us followers on TikTok and all of these things, and now they force me to make videos and stuff of that nature. A little stressful time for pastors in this season, but I'm yet and still grateful for them, and I love the fact that they love us enough that they were like, Pastor, can we miss our church just to make sure that we are with you and Lady T? And so I'm so grateful for you guys being here, helping me feel at home right here on the front. So I'm so thankful. Amen. Can we celebrate them? Amen. Amen. And I got my beautiful peanut head daughter that she was so excited to come to Revive until she found out that she aged out of Revive Kids. And so she was like, okay, Daddy, I got to go back to Believer City next week. But I'm so grateful for her and her love that she has for this church. I can't tell you enough. You guys make her feel so at home. I don't even remember the young lady name that greeted us when we pulled in the parking lot. But I was like, I need her on my guest services. How does a kid have that much energy and love? And I'm so excited about the heart that you guys have here. Last but not least, my cream in this dark chocolate coffee. My baby. My beautiful wife. I used to make fun of pastors when they did that all the time. But now that I'm a pastor and I understand how much she sacrifices for me to be able to do what I do, I understand how much she stands in the shadow when everybody wants to shine the light on me. I understand how much she deals with my foolishness when y'all think I'm so amazing. I understand. I don't need your help today. This is not home. Let me get through this. No, but she makes my world so much better. I say it jokingly, but I mean it with every bit of my heart. God would have never called me to be a pastor if he had never given me her to be by my side. I could not do this by myself. Can we honor my wife, Tiffany? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Listen, if you don't mind, can you guys turn with me to Romans chapter 12? I want to read a couple of verses for you, found in verse 9 and 10. I don't know what you guys do here, but I like to stand when I read the word of God. Is that okay with you guys if we just stand in honor of what God has left behind? Because without his word, we would not have a way to connect with him and know him. And so Romans chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, if that's okay with you guys. It reads like this. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, clinging to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. If you don't mind, repeat after me. Father God, I'm here today seeking a word from you. So open my ears that I can hear. Touch my heart so that I will feel. And renew in me a right mind so that I will do. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Listen, for a moment today, if you allow me to ride with this theme that you guys have entitled Walking in Honor, I want to deal with something that I think is very important that each of us need to understand and hold on to as it relates to honor. And I want to give you a subject title today that is simply this. If we had to call it, give it a message title, it would be Let Love Honor. I want you to understand that. Let love honor. It may not make sense to you now, but I promise you, if you can rock with me, if you can roll with me for just a little bit, I'll make it make sense. Let love honor. My wife has this thing. She loves to walk. I don't understand it. With technology, why would you love to walk? She'll wake up, want to go on a walk. She'll get off work and want to go on a walk. And if you hadn't noticed, I'm in shape, but not that shape. They call us the round brothers. And so it takes no big effort to get to the position that we're in. A lot of relaxing, a lot of remote controls, and a couple of plates a day will do its job just fine. But she wants to walk. And this thing happens, and maybe you guys are professional walkers, you're in great health, but when you haven't walked for a long distance, they have this thing, and it's real, look it up, called the runner's itch. You can get a runner's itch even if you're not running. Somebody's like, what is a runner's itch? Okay, imagine somebody is stabbing your legs with little needles over and over and over and over again. Imagine me walking with a woman that says she loves me but wants me to walk with her, and I'm getting stabbed, 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 stabbed. It's so bad, you're literally abusing your body trying to get that itch to stop. I looked at her and said, how do you love me and you want this for me? How do you love me and you want this for me? And she looks back at me and she says, because I want to make sure that you're in the best health that you can possibly be so that you can be here for as long as you can. Love sometimes is uncomfortable, but it's needed. Love has value that you may not see in the moment, but it always pays off. And yes, I may be round, but I'm not as round as I used to be. However, I am going to talk about your pastor because of the fact he invites a family named the Smokers on the Sunday that I get to preach. And maybe you don't know my history, but I believe in smoking meat. And so instantly when he said Smokers, my mind went to brisket. And I was like, he said, can't nobody make as many. I was like, he finna say briskets as it relates to the Smokers. But no, I'm so grateful for them being here as well. But let's talk about let love honor. I'm excited about Romans chapter 12. I love the book of Romans, period, but I love Romans chapter 12. I love Paul being able to write back to his own people and correct them and guide them and lead them and understand the severity of what the decision is that they've made to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I just love everything about the book of Romans. But Romans 12 gets me. Romans 12 gets me because in the first part of Romans 12, what you get Paul essentially doing, Paul comes before the people and he says, listen, y'all need to make sure that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. He says, if you don't do anything else, this is at least what you can do. This is your acceptable act of service. And it's amazing how so many of us struggle to serve God, to give him our bodies. And when Paul says, give him your body, he's essentially saying, give God your life. Everything about you, you're supposed to give that to God. See, maybe y'all didn't grow up in the hood like I grew up. I grew up in Pleasant Grove and Oak Cliff. It's okay if you hadn't been there. Oh, okay, somebody, one person has been there. So I've been there. And they have these things, and don't hold this against me, but I want to share with you. In the hood, we have a street code. And what a street code is, if you were a part of a gang, no gang members here. I am not a gang affiliated. I'm a part of Jesus Crew. But in the hood, if you were a part of a gang and somebody died for you, guess what you would do? You would be in debt to that family for the rest of your life. You'd be in debt to that family. They mom, even though she's crying and weeping, they would come by, mom, whatever you need, I got you, Mom. I'm here for you. Whatever you need, even though she's not trying to hear it because her son was affiliated, Mom, whatever you need. They would go by and check, and they would make sure Mom's bill were paid. That was a hood code. If that was a hood code and gangbangers could understand it, why can't holy people understand it? Why can't we understand as believers that God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son, and as a result of it, we should be in debt to him for the rest of our lives? We should always go before him. God, what do you need today? God, how can I serve you today? What is it that I can do for you? He died an unjust death so that we could live the best life that we could possibly be. How do they get that in Oak Cliff and Pleasant Grove, but we can't get that in the church? That's not my business. Y'all talk about that a little bit later. So I'm just saying that we have to understand Paul is serious about what he writes to his people. He says, listen, I need you to understand that you need to present yourself as a living sacrifice. And I love what Paul does next, because not only does he help them understand your role in having to submit to God and serve God, but what Paul does in the next couple of stanzas and verses in the text is Paul describes the different positions that you can have in church. And I love what Paul does that and how he does that, because what Paul is doing is saying, I know that you have a great worship team. I know that you're amazing at media, but no one of us could survive without the other. We all need each other. If you preach, great, preach. But don't think your preaching is better than somebody that can praise. Don't think that you are higher than anybody else. Paul puts people in their position. Paul makes sure that you understand that we are all needed to advance the kingdom of God. We all have a role. We all have a responsibility to make sure that we get what God wants out of what we have. Now this leads us to verse 9 and 10, because after Paul had told you what you're supposed to do with God, and after Paul had told you how to behave in the church, Paul takes a minute and he says, let love be without hypocrisy. I want to suggest something today, and the thing that I want to suggest today is that when we talk about let love walk in honor, and we talk about honor as it relates to love, can I help you understand that without love, there would be no honor? Without love, there would be no honor. If I had to put it another way, I'll say it like this. They could throw it up on the screen. Honor is not reverence. I want you to rock with me. I want you to roll with me. I want you to listen. Open your ears and hear what I'm saying. Honor is not reverence. And in order for me to decide to make sure that you understand and define that, I got to break that down to you. I want to make sure that you understand reverence and honor are two different things. When we talk about reverence, reverence is a form of respect. Catch this, that's built out of fear. I reverence your power. I reverence your position. I reverence your authority. And so therefore, I respect you out of your position. Honor, on the other hand, is a form of respect that is birthed out of love. Honor is birthed out of love. Because of who you are, because of what you're doing, because of how I see you, I respect you out of my love for you. Okay, maybe you don't understand it. I was not always a good kid at school. I know y'all were straight A's and B's in the room. I was a bad, bad boy. I was the boy that would try to sneak out of class. That was me. I was him. I was the boy that tried to pay for extra lunch tickets so I can eat everybody else's lunch. I told y'all I'm round. This is real. This has been a lifelong journey of mine. And so that was me. And so this is the thing. This is the thing. Let me help you understand reverence and honor. Let me help you understand reverence and honor. Reverence, when I was at home, I didn't do anything bad. I was scared of my daddy. I was scared of my mama. I did not want to go pull switches. If you don't know what a switch is, go Google it. Go talk to Alexa. She'll help you out. If you had a good country parent, they would braid a couple of them together. Okay, God bless you. I see you in the building. So at home, you would swear I knew Jesus. I didn't want no issues, no problems, because I had a level of reverence for my parents, for who they are and what they were doing in my life. However, you let me get away from them, it's turn up time, baby. It's about to go down. And so I would be in school acting a literal fool until I reached the age that I found out that they have phones that can reach your parents on their job. No, we didn't have cell phones, young people, back then. They would actually had lines attached to them, and you would have to go to the principal office when they call. And my dad, with that big baritone voice, would get on that phone, and no matter how crazy I acted whenever he was on around, when I heard that voice, it was as if Jesus had spoken to me himself. And I instantly went back to class and sat down and paid attention. Everybody, man, what's wrong with you, man? Leave me alone, man. Just leave me alone. Because I didn't want those problems when I got home. It's one thing to reverence God when you see him. It's one thing to reverence God when you show up to church on Sunday morning. It's one thing to reverence God when you're hanging around with your Christian friends. It's another thing to honor God when you don't even know that he's there. It's another thing to say that, you know what, even when I'm not in a place that looks like you, even when I'm not around people that talk like you, I'm still going to honor you. As Christians, we got the reverencing thing down right. Oh, you don't believe me. You brushed your teeth this morning. You washed your face. You usually don't do that every day. But you did that to come to the house of the Lord on today. That was an act of reverence. Honor says that even when you're not around, I'm still going to do what I'm supposed to do. I don't need you to stand over my shoulder and tell me how to behave. I don't need you. It's in me, and I do it because I love you. This is why I believe that Jesus says one of the greatest commandments that we could possibly have is to love God and love our neighbor. When you allow yourself to operate in love, love covers what? A multitude of sins. So the question is, Pastor, why do we not honor God? It's not because we don't believe in him. It's not because we don't reverence him. It's simply because, maybe not at Revive, but a lot of places, we don't love him. We don't love God enough to say that, God, in everything I'm going to do, I'm going to honor you. In my marriage, I'm going to honor you. With my children, I'm going to honor you. With my finances, I'm going to honor you. Because when you really love someone, you don't have to be convinced. Okay, let me help you. Maybe you didn't get it. Some of you wives will understand this, because when you were dating your husband, when you first got with him and he was really in love with you, and you know the first time you came over to his house after he moved out of his mama house, and it was clean. It smelled, y'all know where I'm going. He was well-groomed. Many of you would testify. Don't raise your hands. Don't speak. I'm trying to save your marriage today. He's not the same. Something has changed. Can I tell you what happened? See, he was in love with you. He's still in love with you, but he noticed that he can relax a little bit. But he was in love with you. So he wanted to present the best thing that he could to you. He wanted to give you his best, no matter how much it was not what he was accustomed to, no matter how much it was not what he desired to do, he still wanted to give his best to you. Can I help you, wives? Don't tell your husbands I told you this. This is what you go tell your husband. This is what you go tell your husband when he don't want to do those things for you anymore. You look at him and they say, you must don't love me no more. I'm sorry, husbands, I had to get out. The women make up over 80% of the church. I need them on my side today. I need them on my side. No. I say that to say, because it actually convicted me too. You know, when I first got with my wife, I wasn't a door opening dude. That's your side of the car. This is my side of the car. And I went out with a pastor friend of mine, and he was opening up the door for his wife. And I looked at them, and I was like, baby, do you expect me to do that for you? And she politely looked over to me and said, well, it would be nice. It lets me know that you care. I would like to stand before you and tell you that I immediately changed my behavior, but I didn't. You continue to open your own door, and I'm going to continue to open my door. But it's funny, I went back and I looked at Genesis when God created man and how he put man to sleep, and he took the rib from man, and even Adam said, this is an extension of me. This is woman of, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And it made me think that, man, my wife is an extension of me. This ain't even part of my message. I'm just going to give it to you because it's going to help you honor your spouse. She is an extension of me. So when I tell her no, guess who I'm telling? I'm telling myself no. When I don't go above and beyond for her, guess what I'm doing? I don't go above and beyond for myself. And so catch this. In actuality, when I'm dishonoring her, I am dishonoring myself. If I love her enough, I shouldn't have a problem with it. Now she got problems with me because she tried to touch that dough, and I'm like, don't touch my dough no more. I'm coming. I'm not in a hurry. I'm coming. You just sit there and wait till I get there. One day I caught her trying to open the door, and she opened it and then gently closed it back. I looked at her while I was walking around. Keep playing with me. You're going to go back to opening your own doors again. But I want to help you. I want to help you walk. I want to help you walk in honor. And I think the important thing for us all to understand, if we're going to walk in honor, we don't have to really understand the concept of honor. We have to understand what it takes to walk in honor. And before we can ever get to honor, we have to have love. Okay, maybe you don't understand a prerequisite. Maybe you dropped out. You don't like schools, things like that. It's some things that you have to complete before you do anything else. So since the smokers are in the house, I'm going to help you. If you're smoking a brisket, don't go and buy a brisket that's already been trimmed. I will not eat your lean meat. You keep that dry beef to yourself. God bless you. If you're smoking a brisket, you let that fat on there, and you better learn how to trim it yourself. If you can watch a tutorial on how to do makeup, you can watch a tutorial on how to trim a brisket. And so you trim that brisket just right. Leave about an eighth of an inch of fat on there. If you smoke it just right, that fat turns into this buttery flavor. Oh. I told y'all, I'm about this round life, baby. I'm about this round life. It turns into a buttery flavor. If you wrap it in butcher paper versus the foil, you'll get a nice thick bark on there. It's just the right thing. But it's the prerequisite to having a great brisket is you have to put in the work to trim it. I want to get you to the place to honor. I'm glad I'm the first one that gets to come because I believe that there are many more people that are going to come after me that's going to share some great things. But I want to make sure that you understand, in order for me to walk in honor, I first have to understand love. And the biggest mistake that many of us have is that we've had some people that never loved us tell us they love us, and we've built our definition on that. We built our definition on that. And so for many of us, love hurts. For many of us, love lies. For many of us, love is greedy. For many of us, love is manipulative. And as a result of it, when we tell God we love them because we made that behavior okay for people in our lives, we think that's okay for us as it relates to God. And the reality is, Paul writes in this text and he says, let love be without hypocrisy. He says, I don't want you to be a hypocrite. Don't tell me you love me and you lie to me. Don't tell me you love me, but you won't work with me. You won't serve with me. You won't labor with me. Don't tell me you love me, but when I need you, you're not there for me. I don't need to hear those words. And for many of us, the reason why we won't honor God is because we don't love him. And the crazy part is I can never expect you to love and honor your pastor if you don't love God, because he is sent by God. If you can't love and honor the source, how are you going to love and honor the pastor? How are you going to love and honor the church? How are you going to love and honor the people that serve with you, that labor with you, that pray with you in your small groups and things of that nature? If you can't love God first, nothing else would ever make sense. Can I help you understand? I was married 4 years. 4 years I was married before I really loved my wife. 4 years. And I had to go back and apologize to her because my marriage was built on I need you. My marriage was built on how comfortable you make me feel. My marriage was built on how much you have been there for me. But it wasn't until I met Jesus that I really understood what love was. And so imagine now getting married on a rocky foundation, now having to turn that whole thing and fix it. But can I help you understand something? It wasn't my money. It wasn't my belly. It wasn't my cooking that kept us together. It was God's love that did that for us. And so what I want to make sure that you leave here with today is understanding, how do we walk in honor? How do we walk and understand that we need to let love honor. Let love be the driving force of what you're doing. And so Paul writes, it's in verse 9 and 10, and the first principle, the first point that I want to give you on today that I need you to write down and keep near to you is simply this. Love values the who. In order for you to honor somebody, you have to know who they are. And love values the who. When you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 10, the A clause, that's the first standard of verse 10. It says this, be devoted to what? One another in brotherly love. That's what the text says in the first, in verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Who are you loving? Why is this so important? Because the who helps you understand that it's not all about you. Your view of who I am confirms my value to you. If you don't really know me, then I have no value to you. When Pastor Kilgore came in and he introduced that we're going to have a guest speaker today, Pastor Chris, he's been my friend for 10 years. Many of y'all are good Christian folks. And y'all was like, yay. But many of y'all said, what you mean? I came to hear you today. Why? Because you don't know me. And so as a result of you not knowing me, your view of me has lessened my value to you. Now we've been laughing, we've been telling some jokes. I done got in your kitchen a little bit, told you some of my business, and maybe you feel a little bit more comfortable with me. Why? Because your view of me has changed. Your view gives me value. The reason why many of us can't love each other and honor each other, and many why we can't love and honor the church, reason why we can't love and honor God, because we have a jacked up view of who those people and places are to us. And this is the problem. I can't change your view. It's mighty funny. I was laughing at my wife when we were on the way to church today. I woke everybody up. Y'all church started 30 minutes earlier than us. I don't believe in being late. I like to be early. I want to peep the scene. What does the room smell like? How are the people? Is it a pleasant environment? Do they have treats for me to eat? Let me get there. Let me see. And so I woke everybody up, and I wanted to make sure we got to Revive. Well, you know, women, when y'all get rushed, y'all are not good. This is men. This is where we get them back. This is your turn. Tag, we're it. You get rushed. They didn't forgot their makeup. They didn't forgot their watches. Oh, I left without my earrings, all of that thing. Well, she left without her eyes today. She left her eyes at the house. And so she didn't have her glasses. And I had to come back. And my daughter comes outside. And we're probably a good 40 yards away. My daughter comes outside. And she holds up two cases of glasses. One was green. One was black. And I just look over at her in the passenger seat. And she just, I can't see that. I say, I see it just fine. I can actually see the logo for where I am. Man, I barely made it to Revive today, y'all. She was about to get me. I could see something, and I knew exactly what to pick from where I was. She was literally in the same car with me, same distance, but because her view was messed up, she didn't know what to choose. Oh, this is going to be good, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. Many of us, the reason why we can't honor God, we can't honor our church, we can't honor our brothers and sisters in the faith, we can't honor our pastor, is simply because we still have a worldly view of who all of these people are. You wonder why in your marriage, why after you've given your life to Christ, but maybe your spouse hadn't given their life to Christ, they still don't see you in the manner that God has created you. You now see them. This is why there is conflict. This is why there is tension. And the question is, who is going to win? See, I could have been mean and messy and be like, I told y'all I wanted to leave at 8. We leaving. You're going to be blind today. But I want to live. She even gave me a way out. She says, don't worry, I can put in my contacts. And I said, okay, I can take that. But in my heart, I knew what she really wanted. And so as a result of it, I'm going to allow my love to honor you. I told you 8, but I really was cool with 8:15. See, I know my spouse. And so I was already ready for your delay. And so I stayed there. We got her glasses, we got everything, and we're here today. God bless you. We're so grateful for that. But catch this. Even when she didn't have what she wanted, She didn't say, I'm going to walk in blind. She says, I'm going to use what I do have as my backup. I'm going to use my contacts. Can I help you understand something? Some of you have been let down by places in your life, by people in your life that you thought you saw God in. And as a result of it, you've discarded them and they have hurt you. And you have literally said, I'm not going through that again. I'll go to church, but I'm not connecting with church. Can I help you understand? Sometimes you don't have glasses. You just need contacts. Sometimes it may have not worked where you were, but that doesn't mean that you give up and you stay in the dark. You stay in the blind. You have to let love honor. You have to try all over again. Use the new thing. Use the next thing that God has given you. And so Paul suggests in this text that you have to know the who. So my question is today, do you know your who? How do you view them? Each of you should go home, and whatever person that you've struggled with honoring, mom, dad, sister, brother, pastor, church, anything that you've struggled in honoring, some of y'all say, Pastor, I've been saved all my life. I don't have a problem. Let me tell you how you know you struggle to honor. Anytime they ask you to do something, you cringe. You may not do it physically, but something on the inside of you just jerks, and you're like, That lets you know that you're struggling. And the crazy thing, we can laugh about it, that it's happening in the church, but can I help you understand something? Some of you, it's happening in your own home. Some of you, when your spouse calls your name and needs something or they want you to do something, you just cringe. Some of us are married but not happy. I call it mad married, folks. We're living and we're angry and we're frustrated. And marriage is a union that God has created to honor him. Why would he want it to be that way? And so your question that you have to ask yourself is, how do I see them? How do I view them? When I look at them, do all I see is their mistakes and their flaws? Or do I look at them and I see God's plan for their life? Do I look at them and I see what God wants them to do? I love what just took place with baby smoker, Lucy Love. I love what I just saw took place, because we don't know what tomorrow looks like for her. He prayed over her husband. I wish my wife, Pastor, would have prayed over me back then. Before, I don't need you today. I'm good. You don't hear them? I just wish he prayed over what God's vision is for her life. He blessed them. He even admitted, hey, I'm selfish. I want them here. But Lord, if you got a purpose for them there, allow them to be there. He saw them for who God has created them to be. You guys should be honored that your pastor loves you enough that he sees you in the way that God sees you. But why would you see him any less than how God sees him? Why would you see this vision that God has given him as any less than how God has given it? Okay, maybe you don't understand what that is. I know you got a Bible preaching pastor. The children of Israel were some hard-headed, stubborn folks. And it's their fault Moses didn't get in. I know it's Moses' fault, but it's their fault. Leading crazy people ain't easy. Believe me, I know. Don't go back and tell them I said that. Don't go back and tell them I said that. This is what I get. Anybody that'll look at you and tell you, were there not enough graves in Egypt? They got problems. Was it not okay for us just to be? Can we just die there? Why did you bring us out here, Moses, for us to die here? You know what was the problem? Their view. Their view was failure. Their view was that God wouldn't provide. They didn't believe in Moses' vision. Can I help you understand something? Anywhere I've read in the Bible, God gives a vision to one individual. But he doesn't expect that one individual to do it by himself. He allows people to come beside them, hear the vision. Matter of fact, he tells us to do what? Write the vision down and make it plain so that you can run with the vision. When you view your pastor, you are viewing a man, a woman that is on assignment from God. And so you'll never support the vision if you don't know the provider of the vision. So you got to have the right view. Not only do you have to have the right view, catch this. Point number two, we're going to move on. Point number two is catch this. Not only do love values the who, but love acknowledges the what. Look with me at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, the B clause. Romans chapter 12, adore what is evil, cling to what is good. I had to look that word up. I'm like, why can't y'all use English words in the English Bible? Why you got to pull this Latin and Greek and Hebrew? I mean, I'm talking to people in America. We got this. But I love the fact that when I looked up this initial word in the B clause of verse 9, you know what it reminds me and what it tells me is? It says, have dislike for. It's a Latin word that means have dislike for. And so essentially what Paul says, which I don't know why Paul didn't just say it like this, have dislike for what is evil. Have dislike for what is evil and cling to that is good. So not only does love value the who, but love acknowledges the what. Love acknowledges the what. What is it that you're asking me to do? What is it that you desire for me to do? And all he's simply saying, don't like evil and cling to what's good. That is very hard in today's time. Why? Because social media wants us to like everything ungodly. Everything ungodly. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. Y'all got this stretch offering coming up. Y'all need to just delete TikTok right now. That TikTok shop will break you. I had packages showing up at my house. Cologne I ain't even smelt before. Just because somebody was on that talking about, this smells so good. Come on, TikTok. Here's my money. Give it to me right now. Can I help you understand something? Nothing wrong with TikTok shopping. I'm going to continue it. But let me help you understand something. The world pulls at you in so many ways. And the world pulls at you in so many ways. And so it's your responsibility that you have to what? Not desire the evil. That you have to not desire the evil. You have to not want that which is bad. And you have to pursue that which is good. Catch this. I am doing real good. I've lost 20 pounds. Y'all don't have to clap. They already did it at home. Hold it down. But I've lost 20 pounds. And I'm feeling real good about it. Even though I know y'all have a great barbecue place like right around the corner from here. But this is the thing. I don't love what my wife makes me eat. But I love the fact that I get to stick around a little bit longer. And so there are times when she is not with me that the enemy is around the corner waiting to sift me like wheat. And I pass by a barbecue place, and I have a responsibility being a native Texan. You can't put those letters, BBQ, on your building and not go through proper inspection. I happen to work for the Inspection Bureau of the Smokers of Texas. And so I have to go and check them out. But here lately, guess what I've been doing? Just passing them on by. Why do I pass them on by? Because I have to desire that which is good. Not saying that barbecue is evil if you see me around the corner in a little bit. I just simply have to desire that which is good, which means evil is not going to disappear. It's going to stay present. It's going to stay right there in your face. And as a result of it, you have to be stronger than it. It can't be stronger than you. Do you fail to understand that it's always been there? The evil, the choice of good and bad has always been there. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, listen, everything was good. I love Genesis. If you don't know God, go read the book of Genesis. Everything he created, day one through day six, good, 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 good. People don't understand the big deal. They just ate a fruit. Can I help you understand what it looks like to have a good life and never know bad? Okay, maybe you don't know. If you have kids, they were good for the first 4 years of your life. When they turned 5 and you had to send them to daycare, things changed. They learned a word that you never knew that could cut you so bad. No. What do you mean? No. Instantly, it changed the whole dynamic of your relationship. They went from being cute and cuddly. Now I got to put you in timeout. I have to do something to you. Because of the fact that they've learned something bad. It's something about being in an environment where everything is protected and good. But that tree was there not for man to fail, but just so that you can prove how much you love me, that you're willing to obey me, that you're willing to honor me. You have to choose. And so in order for you to choose to honor God, things have to be present that you have to be willing to say no to. I don't want these things. It's not that God is trying to tempt you. God is literally trying to treat you like Job, man. Look how strong my boy is. He got power. And then you go over there and he's like, hold on. Me and him just prayed. Why did he give in to this? And the reason that we've given into this is because we have a desire to pursue evil more than we have a desire to pursue good. And this is the problem with evil, if you don't know. It always starts out small. People are going to laugh, but I'm telling you the truth. It's the pen that you steal that you didn't ask for on your boss's desk. I know. I've done it. That pen you stole without asking for it. You just committed a sin. And it's the fact that you got away with stealing that pen that led you to doing whatever the next thing is, because God didn't bring down the wrath upon you on that pen. So I don't steal pens anymore. I let you keep your pens, and I ask you, can I have it? If you tell me no, then I ask you, where did you get it from? So that I can go buy my own. Why? Because I want to make sure that I don't give in to that little thing. I don't give into that little thing. See, I'm not the person that can go to a barbecue place and just get a sliced beef sandwich. No, I need a 3-meat plate, please. And can you help me? Matter of fact, give me 2. I want to try it out and see what the flavor tastes after it's settled. I'm that dude. And so I cannot give in. I cannot give into that level of temptation. So I have to stand firm. Can I help you understand today that many of you need to go home and you need to write down your struggles? You need to write down your struggles and be honest with yourself. If you're not going to be honest with anybody else, write down your struggles and literally begin to put roadblocks in place to keep you from going there. You know what the word sin means for me? Stop it now. That is a decree all over Believer City. As long as you're breathing, sin will always be waiting on you. But the minute that opportunity comes before you, words in your head should pop up, stop it now. Because if I can stop it at this point, then it won't lead to anything bad. So Paul is literally saying, I need you to acknowledge the what? If you love me, you will honor me by pursuing that which is good. You'll never long for bad for me. You'll never long for what is not right for me. You'll never long for what's good enough for you, but not good enough for what God has called me to have. If you love me, you have to acknowledge the what. What is the reason that God has me here? What is the reason that God has connected me with someone else? What is that reason? If you don't have that what, it will always create problems in your life, because then you'll be battling within yourself trying to figure it out. You have to know that you're on assignment by God in every place with every person that you're connecting to. If you don't know the what, you'll never be able to fulfill the why. And so we look in this text and we understand the who, we understand the what. Next thing and last thing, but I want to give you is that love understands the why. When I talk about love understanding the why, I would never, never add a word to the word of God. I know the Bible says, do not add a word. We are not adding a word to the word of God. Everybody say, we're not adding a word to the word of God. If y'all somehow find a way to manipulate this and put this on Facebook, I'm going to get you. Because we have all agreed that we are what? Not adding a word. God bless you. Okay. But if God allowed. And we could take the first stanza of verse 9a and the last stanza of verse 10b, because these are what it says. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Hold on to that. And then the next verse in verse 10b says, give preference to one another in honor. So if we had those two phrases and we can create a blank in the middle and add something, this is what I would have. I would see that everything that encompasses in the middle of those verses simply makes this statement to us. Let love be without hypocrisy, because it gives preference to one another in honor. I'm not adding a word, but I'm simply summarizing what God says in verse 9 and verse 10. Let love be without hypocrisy, because it gives preference to one another in honor. Love understands the why. Why do we have to love one another? Why do we have to love the kingdom of God? Why do we have to love the vision that God gives us? Because it gives preference to one another. Preference, the ability to choose, the ability to move forward, the desire to be a part of, the desire not to be a part of. This is the beautiful thing that I give to my wife. And when I get in the car with her or when I'm at home with her, baby, what do you want to eat? I know that it's not going to work out the way that I always wanted to. There's going to be a lot of, I don't know what I want today. I had Chinese yesterday or I had Mexican today. But I love her enough that I want to give her an option. I want to give her a preference of what it is. At the end of the day, if she puts the choice back on me, I'm always going to choose her favorite thing, Mexican food. It's just going to happen. No matter how much I might want barbecue, I'm going to feed her love language. Y'all didn't know eating was a love language. Yes, it is. And so this is the thing that I want to share with you. When we look at this biblical text, Paul encourages us that we have to understand the why. You can know the who, you can know the what, but there's a struggle to do anything if you don't know the why. One of the most beautiful things that I love about your pastor, and I don't know, maybe I should be a member of Revive. I'm sorry, I'm just kidding. But he gets up here and he talks about giving, and he just don't say give, 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 give. He tells you the why. He tells you the great things that we get to do with our ministry. He tells you how we just impacted people's lives, how we're going to expand that parking lot, and how we're going to do great things and make things happen. He includes you in the why. He even went above and beyond today and said, I'm asking you and I'm honoring you because what you guys give helps support me and my family. I love that and I appreciate that. He shares the why with you. Can I help you understand? It is a rare thing to have pastors who are transparent. It is a rare thing to have pastors that don't want to make you think that everything is peachy and clean and we don't have problems. Somebody that wants to share the load and the burden with you. Why? Because he not only wants to take you somewhere, he wants you to know what's happening along the way. Why? Because if I'm sitting here dragging you on the journey, it doesn't matter. All you're doing is slowing us down. I want to walk with you. I want to make sure that you understand the why. Can I help you understand why you should honor God? Because he always shares with you the why. He always shares with you the why. He always shares with what he wants to do with you and how he wants to make things great. He may not ever tell you every single step of the way, but he has the why. He has the why. He has the proper understanding of what it is that he wants to do in your life. And his plan is never for you to fail. Matter of fact, he says he'd rather you be the lender than the borrower. The head and not the tail. That's God's plan. And this is the deal. I can teach you all of this, that if you're going to honor somebody, that you have to love them. And if you're going to love them, you have to understand that love sees them for who they are. You have to understand that love knows why that you're a part of their life, the what, the reason that you're a part of their life. And you have to understand that love understands the why that God has brought you together. But none of this would make sense if I couldn't tie it back to Jesus. We preach Jesus. And Jesus is the best example of love and honor that we could ever have. And so when I think about that, I think about love values the who. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world. Who is the who? The world. Each and every last one of us. The people who have done him wrong, the people who have turned their back on him, the people who have made false and broken promises. You know, just like you women get mad at our husbands when we say we're going to fix the screen door, y'all have done it to God. We are the who. We are the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the what? He gave because he loved. His only begotten son. That is our what in our relationship. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the why. I love the who. I gave the what. So they can obtain the why. Because I don't want them to die. I didn't create them to be at distance from me. I created them to be in relationship with me. I want them to love me just as much as I love you. Why is this so important for us to understand? And this is it, and I'm out. This is the reason why it's so important to understand. Even when we're unperfect, God still honors us. He doesn't have to. He's God. But even when we're problematic, even when we manipulative, even when we're liars, he honors us because he's did it in John 3:16. He never has to do it again. He's already done it with the hopes that one day you will choose to love him enough that you too will turn around and honor him. So I ask you in my closing, our gangbangers from Oak Cliff in Pleasant Grove, Texas, who can have a mindset to say that when somebody gives their life for me, I'm going to honor their family. I'm going to hold it down for them in the hood. Are they better than you? Are they better than you that the Almighty God that has given you the breath within your lungs, the activity of your limbs, are they better than you that the Almighty God that allowed his son to die on the cross for our sins? Are they better than you because you can't comprehend the sacrifice that God has made for you? What more does he have to do to prove that he loves you? What more does he have to give? What more do you desire from him to prove that he loves you? He sees you. He knows exactly what you need, and he knows why you need it. So this is my prayer as you leave here today, that you leave here and you let love honor. The reason why I say let love honor, because your common sense is not going to want to honor. Your budget is not going to want to honor. Your friends are not going to want to honor. None of those things are going to want to honor. That's why you can't allow them to drive. The only thing that you can allow to drive your desire and your ability to honor is your love. So every time you get an opportunity to honor God, you have to ask yourself this: do I love him enough in this moment to honor him? And if you can't say yes, you don't even need to waste time dishonoring him. You need to fall to your knees, pick up your Bible right then and ask yourself, God, why am I feeling so dark right now? Why am I feeling so distant from you? God, I need to be closer to you. I love you and I know you love me. Let's fix this right now. Can I pray for you as I leave? Father God, I thank you for this desire to grow closer to you. I thank you for this word that you've allowed me to share with your people. And God, I pray that I have done you justice as your words have flowed from my lips. And I pray that they have had ears to hear. I pray that they had hearts to receive. And I pray that as they leave this place and the enemy tries to destroy everything that you have, every seed that you have sown in this place, I pray that they keep a mind to do. God, have your way in their lives, and we will give you the honor through our love. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.